Well, I'm going to probably, good afternoon, everybody. I'm probably going to take a bit of all the buts that were said here and add a little bit more. So to the question of this panel, whether the system is sufficiently resilient, I strongly object to the statement. I'm glad almost two-thirds of you come in this way. I hope to convince even more of you that that's the case, because it's not just that it's not sufficiently resilient. It's not resilient by any measure. In fact, it's incredibly fragile. And that is not to say that you might find measures under which it's somehow better than some other time. I actually don't think it's that much better as a whole than it was before. By some measures, it's potentially even worse. So too big to fail was mentioned, so let me start there. There are about 28 global SIFIs, systemically important financial institutions. Most of them are much larger now than they were in 2006, so just keep that in mind. They are very large by any standard, just about the largest and the most complex corporations you can find anywhere. So Mark Carney, governor of Bank of England, head of Financial Stability Board, recently declared the problem majorly solved somehow in Brisbane. I'm glad that the resolution planning was brought up, because I was going to comment on that as well. So the FSB document from October 2014 and is entitled Key Attributes to Effective Resolution Regimes for Financial Institutions. The date, by the way, is 6 years, more than 6 years after the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy, 16 years since LTCM, the hedge fund, and 40 years after Continental Illinois, all of which showed already the issue of contagion across border and the challenge of resolution. And so here's what it takes us to come to just key attributes. Now, there's the issue that it tries to tackle, which I don't want to go too much into. When do you start resolution? Who is going to decide that a SIFI is non-viable? That point is too late. Fragilities will start way before that, and this system is so interconnected that one of those SIFIs, even suspicious of failing, is going to either trigger or be accompanied by more failures. There is no way, there's no collateral damage from that process in the best of all cases, but to see how far we are from a scenario here, let me just give you a few stats on that document. The word should appears 406 times in this document. And sometimes the should is a list of 12 things that should happen. So it's a big wish list of should be things. In other words, that are mentioned very extensively, it's to do with information, authority, legal, law, power, coordination, cooperation, all of those things. I urge you to look at that document. And just remember, the Financial Stability Board has no power of enforcement at all. So all of these are just friendly suggestions to the members. So I asked the panelists here just how many of these shoulds are actually in place. How close are we to any number of these many, many, many shoulds that should happen to get here? Let me give you the IMF's answer from just recently. The summary sentence, as yet, orderly resolution of systemic cross-border banks is not a feasible option. And then there's more statements about the need for political willingness to act, incentives for corporations are weak, achieving progress is proving challenging. So it's been a long time, and I don't see any end in sight to this. So I would argue that progress on resolution is way, way far away from being sufficient. So basically, if you argue that the system is resilient, or certainly sufficiently resilient, you better hope that we're not getting to that point where we need that resolution that's so, so elusive. So what's going to protect us from that point of failure. Supposedly these tough capital requirements were told. Well, I have a very dim view of those requirements. Andrea touched on a couple of points, and I'll just be stronger on that. The risk weights have been a source of more fragility and more interconnectedness because of a number of design flaws that manifested themselves. Measures of capital to risk-weighted assets have not been predictive of financial health or resiliency at all. There have been studies on that. It's not just the manipulability. It's the fact that they create concentrations on assets that regulations give very low risk weights for and other things. So that system is bad. And even when you go to leverage ratios, which I favor more, except not at these ridiculous levels, they too are based on accounting numbers, cannot be trusted, do not give appropriate warnings of financial health. So I'm not under any illusion that these capital requirements are going to help us. Even worse, and that was also mentioned by Mr. Enria, they repeat again mistakes from the past which want to rely on non-equity substitutes, call them the name, the jargon of the day, COCOs, GLACs or TLACs or bail-in, all of those things that are basically debt instruments that magically in some scenario, again, in resolution or some other time, will magically be there to absorb losses. Well, our experience has been grim, and that's the most frustrating thing about it. We should know better than to trust these things because all the regulatory capital in Basel II that was there to absorb losses actually did not absorb losses. So it just didn't work. It didn't work. Memorandum of understanding, nothing worked that was in place except equity and plain equity. So I see the look. Okay, I just want to mention a couple more things. Quickly, derivatives. So no capital makes sense given where we are on derivatives markets. That's an incredible source of risk and opacity. That's also a source of a lot of fragility in the system. On derivatives, one of the things that is harmful is bankruptcy codes like the one we have in the U.S., which give preferential treatment to repos and derivatives, allowing the counterparties to step ahead of every other creditor, including depositors. This is a huge flaw, but it's not been revisited. In other words, there are a number of other areas. I would summarize reform efforts as unfocused, sometimes too much on some issues that are not relevant to the crisis, and then too little on the things that really matter. And then they fail to learn obvious lessons that we really should know better than to be here. So I'm particularly alarmed, and I'm glad that there was all the buts here. If policymakers congratulate themselves and believe that we've done enough, because it's very, very far from the truth, unfortunately. So millions of people are suffering from the failures of previous regulation, and I really urge those who can do it to do the obvious things, and I have very specific suggestions here that can be done right away, such as anybody who can't fail must not make any payouts to equity, and in fact must raise equity in markets, which is what they would have had to do if they had normal creditors and they were subject to normal market discipline. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we've had